Across West Midlands, people are running into the wall Omar is about to describe. Omar is fictional. The wall is not. This is their story. In Hail Soan, chemistry graduates who want to teach cannot access the training they need, while schools struggle to fill science positions that remain vacant for months. The Department for Education sets bursary levels that ignore regional demand, treating teacher training as a cost to be contained rather than an investment in communities that need qualified educators.
My parents saved for 18 years so I could study chemistry at Birmingham University. Dad worked nights at Jaguar Land Rover. Mum cleaned offices before dawn, both of them believing education was the ladder their son would climb. When I graduated with a 201 in 2022, I knew exactly what I wanted to do with that degree. I'd been volunteering at a community center in Small Heath, helping teenagers who'd been told they were no good at science. I watched their faces change when I explained atomic structure using football analogies or taught them about chemical bonds by comparing them to friendships. These kids weren't stupid. They just needed someone who spoke their language. In September 2022, I walked into Birmingham City University to apply for a PGCE in chemistry. The admissions tutor, Dr. Sarah Williams, was more enthusiastic than I'd expected. "We desperately need chemistry teachers," she told me, "especially ones who understand the challenges facing students in areas like yours. You'd be exactly what schools are looking for." She showed me around the education department, pointing out the labs where I'd learn to teach practical lessons, the seminar rooms where I'd study pedagogy. Everything felt right. This was my path. Then December came, and with it, a phone call that changed everything. "I'm afraid there's been a development with the funding," Dr. Williams said. "The Department for Education has reduced the chemistry teacher training bursary from £27,000 to £10,000 for this year. Treasury constraints, they've told us. The allocation was smaller than expected." I stared at the phone. £10,000 would not cover rent, food, and transport for a year of unpaid training. I'd have to work part-time, but the PGCE was full-time. There was no way to make it add up. "But you said you desperately needed chemistry teachers," I replied. "We do," she said. "I'm sorry, Omar, there is no funding." I took a job as a lab technician at a pharmaceutical company in Solihull, earning £22,000 a year and living with my parents to save money. Every day, I tested samples and thought about the classroom I wasn't in. In autumn 2023, I tried again, this time at the University of Birmingham. Same qualification, same enthusiasm, same desperate need for chemistry teachers. Dr. Michael Thompson, the course leader, was as keen as Dr. Williams had been. He walked me through the building, showing me the resources they'd built for teacher training. "We could take 30 students in this cohort," he said as we passed an empty seminar room designed for exactly that number. "But we've only got 8 enrolled." "Why only 8?" I asked. "We can only fund the places we're allocated by the Department for Education," he replied. "The budget has been cut again this year. We could physically teach 20 more, but there's no money for their bursaries." I looked around the empty room. The desks were there. The projector was there. Dr. Thompson was there, ready to teach. Students like me were there, ready to learn. What exactly was it that there was no money for? Walking home through Hail Soan that afternoon, I passed the college. A large sign by the entrance caught my eye. "Chemistry teacher vacancy. Urgent. Excellent salary and benefits. Apply within." I'd seen it before, but this time I walked in. The receptionist directed me to Mrs. Janet Phillips, the head teacher. "How long has that position been vacant?" I asked her. 18 months, she said. "We've advertised everywhere. We've got the classroom, we've got year 11 students taking their GCSEs in 4 months, and we've got a lab full of equipment. We just can't find qualified chemistry teachers." "What if someone wanted to train to be a chemistry teacher?" I asked. "We'd snap them up the moment they qualified," she replied. "Are you interested in teaching?" I explained my situation. The universities that wanted to train me, the schools that needed teachers, the bursary cuts that made training impossible. Mrs. Phillips shook her head. "It doesn't make sense, does it? We're crying out for chemistry teachers. The universities have empty places on their training courses. And you're a chemistry graduate who wants to teach. What's missing?" That question stayed with me. I started paying attention to things I'd previously accepted as facts of life. The government that issues pound notes was telling me it could not find enough pound notes to train teachers. The same government that had found £500 billion for quantitative easing, that had found £850 billion to guarantee bank deposits during the financial crisis, that had found £400 billion for COVID support. It could create money when it chose to. The question was not whether the money existed. The question was what the government chose to spend it on. I began to see the pattern everywhere. In Small Heath, where I grew up, there was a beautiful Victorian building that used to house a teacher training college. It closed in 2019 due to funding pressures. The building now stands empty, while schools a mile away cannot fill their vacancies. On the bus to work, I sit next to Priya, who studied physics at Aston University and wants to teach, and David, who studied maths at Warwick and dreams of inspiring the next generation. We're all stuck in the same loop. The training exists, the need exists, the desire exists. What doesn't exist is the political will to connect them. The excuse was always the same. There is no funding. I used to accept that. It sounded reasonable, responsible even. Everyone nodded along. But I understand now what I did not understand then. The government that prints the notes and mints the coins told me it could not find enough of them to train the people who were standing right there, ready to work. The real question was never about money. It was about whether the people existed, whether the skills could be taught, whether the materials were available. They were. All of them. The excuse was not a fact. It was a choice wrapped in the language of impossibility. It is the same logic as a household that says, we cannot afford it. Except a household does not issue its own currency. The government does. The limit was never the money. The limit was the willingness to spend it into the places and the people who needed it. I'm still here, still watching, still ready to teach, and I know I'm not alone. In every constituency across the country, there are people like me, standing at the gap between what Britain needs and what Westminster chooses to provide. The chemistry graduates exist. The empty classrooms exist. The students who need us exist. What doesn't exist is a treasury that understands the difference between creating money and creating value.
What Omar experienced has a name, cherry picking. This technique works like a tobacco company that points to the one smoker who lived to 90 to argue cigarettes are harmless, while ignoring the overwhelming evidence of what smoking does to public health. They select the rare examples where something went wrong to justify never trying at all. In Omar's story, every time he asked about teacher training funding, officials pointed to isolated examples of waste or inefficiency in education spending, a training program that overspent 5 years ago, a recruitment drive that didn't hit every target. These isolated cases became the reason to cut bursaries across the board, ignoring the overwhelming evidence of what happens when governments properly fund teacher training. Classrooms get filled, students get taught, communities get stronger. The Department for Education cherry-picked the failures and ignored the successes, treating each pound spent on teacher training as a risk to be minimized rather than an investment in Britain's future. They demanded guarantees of perfect outcomes before committing funding, a standard they never applied to bank bailouts or corporate tax cuts. But look at Omar's constituency. The qualified graduates existed, the training places existed, the desperate schools existed, the UK government issues its own currency. It does not need to find pounds before it spends them. The real constraint is resources, people, skills, materials, time. And in Hailsoan, those resources were sitting idle. The resources existed. The people existed. The decision not to connect them was political, not financial. Hailsoan ranks 222 out of 543 English constituencies in the English Indices of Deprivation, 2025, published by MHCLG. The constituency has 1,256 registered charities, according to the Charity Commission Register for England and Wales. Total grants received amount to £19.9 million, according to 360 Giving Grant Nav. All sources are published at blockedbritain.co.uk. Blocked Britain tells the stories of people whose lives are shaped by the gap between what Britain needs and what its institutions choose to provide. Every character is fictional, every situation is drawn from official statistics. Produced by Blocked Britain.